Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast of The Secret is Prayer. And today we will be discussing repentance versus remorse. Lauren, you want to get us started?
Yes. Father God, we gather here today under your care and protection. Thank you for your loving kindness that never fails us. We thank you for those with us, that you would guide our thoughts and actions to bring you glory. Strengthen us and fill us with your peace. May we love and serve each other as Jesus has shown us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to do your good work on earth. Amen.
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 Okay, so today we're doing repentance versus remorse. And I guess it should be godly repentance and worldly remorse.
Right. Yeah,
right?
That sounds good.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Saul and David. And then Peter and Judas, and the difference between their sins and their repentance and remorse.
And what scripture is that, Lauren? Make sure you mention the scripture.
Well, I haven't gotten to the scripture yet.
No, but I didn't want you to forget.
I'm going to touch on scripture. Well, I'm going to touch on scripture as we go, because we're kind of going through.
So we can follow along. Okay.
Yeah, we're going through. So we're going to to kind of give you an idea where we are in the Bible. So we're going back to Samuel. So we're going back to 1 Samuel, and Israel was not intended to have a king because God was their king. And so before Samuel was judges, and in Judges, you know, they didn't have a king. God had assigned judges, but towards the end of Judges, or Judges ends with violence and immorality. So then the people start asking for a king, that they need a king. They need a man, someone that they can see and who can fight for them and all of that. So, so then God sends Samuel to go find the king, to go find Saul. I think it's important to see that because one of the commentaries I read, you know, it said, why didn't, because we know, or for those of us that know, that David, after Samuel, you know, David is king. And there's a huge difference between them two, and people.
Oh, after Saul.
I'm sorry, after Saul. Not Samuel. After Saul's kingship, then it's David, and there's a huge difference between them.
Right.
And and their relationship with God. And so when we read these, you know, it's, we should see it as a cautionary teaching. Because there's a lot to learn in Samuel's. And I'll get started. So then God sends Samuel to go find Saul, because that's who God chooses for to be the first king of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to get into too many details, but I'll describe Saul, how he is in scripture. So they looked more at how he looked physically. You know, he was taller than most. He was, I think he was in his 30s, or he was 30. But he was impatient and impulsive. He made bad decisions under pressure. And then he would try to justify himself instead of admitting to his wrongs. But physically, he was very handsome. He was full of confidence and passion. He did have insecurities. He carried a lot of pride. He later grew paranoid, but he was disobedient. We're going to see that he was disobedient, and then he would try to make up for that disobedience with sacrifices. Right. And I think we're going to be able to relate to all of the ones we talk about today, too. So Samuel points out Saul, that this is who God chooses to be the first king, and the people like him, you know, because they say he's tall, he's handsome, he looks like a king would look like. So they accept, you know, they accept him as the king, and then
he reigned for 42 years. So he was a king for a long time.
For a long time, yeah, mm-hmm. he was. Yeah. And but he made a lot of mistakes, and you know, he started off good, but then he, you know, his pride starts building as his power mm-hmm. grows and all that. And so he makes several mistakes. One of the mistakes that he made was that God sent him to kill the Amalites, yeah, I think it is. And he tells them to kill all of them, not to leave anything behind, to kill all of them, every single one, to kill their animals, to kill all, to annihilate them.
Right.
And Saul doesn't. He leaves the king, and then he takes the best of the sheep, of the goats, of the animals. He keeps the best of them, and then he says that he did it to sacrifice to the Lord. So he was disobedient there, and then he was disobedient in another situation when they're at war and they're losing, and mm-hmm. Samuel had told him to wait 7 days, that he would show up right. where he was at, and that they would to make a sacrifice to the Lord and pray for victory.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Saul gets impatient, gets tired of waiting. He so he takes on the role of the priest, and he does the sacrifice without waiting for Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up getting the victory, but because of his son, Jonathan. But God was disobedient. And so he did wrong. And then, so it's, those were the two biggest mistakes that he made. So then it makes you wonder.
The second one was his fall, right? Because I think
that's where, after that is when mm-hmm. God tells them, where Samuel comes and tells us, you know, he was disobedient, and you have, God rejects him as mm-hmm. king. Yeah. God rejects him as king. And Samuel goes to deliver that message to him and tells him, God is, you know, God is angry, and he has rejected you as king. And Saul's like, well, no, come with me. You know, I'm going to make a sacrifice to him. And in his way, trying to make things right, he didn't see how bad that it was going to cost him his kingship, that, you know, that was the last straw, and it cost him his kingship. And Samuel tells them that, you know, God doesn't look at it's not that your sacrifices, you know, it's your he prefers the obedience over the sacrifices. So, when Saul first becomes king, and they anoint him, you know, it's in scripture where the Holy Spirit comes into him. Like he receives the Holy Spirit, and he's doing all those things. And then throughout scripture of Saul too, it shows where it's, I think that's why it's important to read Samuel's, because it shows where God is guiding him throughout the scripture in his guiding him through all his victories and all those things. And then little by little, Saul gets away from that, and he's gets further and further away from him. And that's when he starts making these poor decisions. And then, you know, he doesn't do well when making decisions under pressure and all of that. So then Samuel tells him, that's it. God's rejecting you as king. So, and Samuel doesn't, I don't remember if Samuel goes with him, because he tells him, no, come with me so the people can see that, you know, that we did good and this and that. And Samuel tells him no. So because God has rejected him. So then they go to, so then God tells them, okay, I'm giving the people a new king. I've selected a new king. He selects David. And that's when he says, I found a man who's after my own heart, God's own heart. And then that goes to And then God tells them, you know, you look at the physical, and I look at their heart. And which is true, what we learned through Saul was that the people liked that, you know, Saul looked that he was tall and that he was handsome and that he was, you know, brave and all those things, but they didn't know his heart, you know. And God, when he picks David, and David's just a kid when he picks him, you know, he's a kid and he's out shepherding the sheep. Mm-hmm. And God knew that his heart. So David had no idea what was coming for him. So then Samuel goes and he finds David, and David is the youngest of several sons and the smallest, and tells them, okay, you're going to be the next king, and anoints him. And so then the Holy Spirit leaves Saul while he's still king, leaves Saul, and is now and enters David. And that was something new. I didn't, when I was reading and researching for this podcast, that was something new, that I had read. I hadn't picked up on that before.
What was it?
That the Holy Spirit, when he anointed Saul and picked Saul as king, the Holy Spirit, he received the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. And when God rejected him because he had been disobedient and he had picked David, the Holy Spirit left Saul and David received it.
Oh, Saul, it says that it left him?
Yes. And so then Saul, he's still king, because remember, David didn't become king for a while after he was anointed. So the Holy Spirit, as soon as when Samuel anoints him and tells him that he's going to be the next king, the Holy Spirit enters him. And then Saul, when the Holy Spirit leaves Saul, is when he starts getting tormented by those bad dreams. Like he starts getting the anxiety and starts getting tormented. And then David, that's when they're going to fight with the Philistines, go to war with the Philistines. And then the whole thing with David and Goliath happen. And so that's when Saul, you know, David, you know, well, he has the Holy Spirit in him. He feels, you know, God is with them, and he goes to fight Goliath. And he, you know, and he even tells Goliath, you know, what are you to against, you know, I have God, what are you to against God? So he goes and he kills them and throws the stones. And so then everybody's impressed with David. And Saul is like, well, who's this young kid who just saved us? And, you know, Saul says, bring him to the kingdom. And Saul makes him a commander in this kingdom. And he ends up, you know, building this relationship with David, because he starts calling David his son. You know, this is my son. And he keeps David there close to him and invites him to his table. And then then he finds out that David plays the harp. And then that's, you know, when Saul is tormented, you know, with the anxiety and all that stuff. So David starts playing the harp. And I was like, hey, that's like when we put Christian music, you know, when we say when you have anxiety or you're not feeling, you know, fear and all that stuff. So and we good. Put on Christian music. And I was like, hey, that's like when we say that, because David was right. You know, he would write the songs, the Psalms and all that stuff. And so it was like Christian music in that time. Yeah. And so it would relieve Saul from his torments. So so then David is there, but you know, the people, David starts getting more and more love from the people, and his popularity starts growing, and Saul starts growing paranoid, because he already knows that God rejected him. So he starts growing more and more paranoid about David taking away his kingship and him losing the kingship. So he starts he tries to kill David, you know? So he tries to kill David. So David starts, has to run and hide from Saul. So now let's talk about David, the kind of person that David is. So here, when Saul sinned against God, he didn't take full responsibility for it. He his way of repenting was well, I'm gonna sacrifice, you know, he tried to justify what he did. And he's like, I'm gonna sacrifice animals for you. Like, I'm gonna, you know, try and make up for it this way. He doesn't, and we're gonna see with David what true repentance is. So David does, Saul does what I think a lot of us do sometimes. It's like, well, I'll just make up for it. I failed here, so I'll just make up for it. Because he was completely disobedient. Like, God told him, do this, and he only did it halfway. He didn't do exactly what God said, you know. And I think we can all relate to that, where we think, well, if I just do this part, you know, or I don't have to do all of that, like, you know, well, I believe in God, I don't have to go to church, or I think that we, and even when just making right or wrong choices, you know, when we have to make a decision and we don't fully, we know that that's not right, or we know that, you know, we need to follow this through, and we don't, you know, we do it only halfway through. So here Saul is pretty confident in himself, and he did what he wanted. You know, he took control of the situation. He didn't wait for God, and he, you know, even took on the role, disrespected Samuel, took the role of the priest, and he did the sacrifice and all that. So there was, you know, Saul did pretty bad things. So then let's move on to David. So David, so God saw David's heart. You know, David was handsome too, because I think it says on there too that he was very handsome.
Yes.
And God picked David because of his heart. You know, he had a good heart. And he you know, he goes and he succeeds against Goliath. And he, so Saul starts searching for him every day. But all through the Bible, you're going to see where it shows that God doesn't hand him over to Saul. You know, God keeps himself, and, you know, David's running and hiding in the wilderness, but he doesn't hand them over to Saul. And so, and another thing is that David doesn't take vengeance on Saul, because David has several opportunities to kill Saul and he doesn't.
Right.
And yeah. And in Samuel's 26, verse 9, it reads, but David said to Abishai, destroy him. Don't destroy him, Saul, for who can lift a hand against the Lord's anointed and be innocent? David added, as the Lord lives, the Lord will certainly strike him down. Either his day will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. However, because of the Lord, I will never lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Instead, take the spear and the water jug by his head and let's go. So here, you know, David has a chance to go kill Saul while they're asleep, because Saul's with his soldiers and they're all asleep. And David, you know, tells his men, no, we're not going to hurt him. We're just going to take his water jug and his spear. And, you know, that right there, that he didn't take vengeance into his own hands. I know I can relate to that. So, because, you know, God promises to, you know, that he will handle that. And it's hard sometimes, you know, we want to take things into our own hands and take control. And for him, you know, here, Saul's trying to kill him. And I think it took a lot in him to not, because he had the power, he had opportunity after opportunity to take his vengeance, and he didn't. And I think that shows a lot about how much he trusted God.
Right. And it shows how obedient he was to follow him. He, you know?
Yes. Yep.
So at this point, he's not arrogant either. He doesn't have a big head thinking, well, I have God behind me, so I could do what I want, you know? And that's kind of like how Saul was, in a way, you know, like, I'm king, God anointed me as king. And then he just started taking his own way, you know?
Yes. Yep. He, very, a huge difference there. And it also shows David's faith, you know, it shows David's right. faith, where his faith is with God.
Yeah.
So then David's on the run, because this goes on for years. I forgot how many years David's on the run. I think it's like, is it like 7 years or six, four? Or it's several years that he's on a run.
10 years?
I think it was 10 years.
10 years?
It was a very long time.
It was a long time. I think it was 10 years.
So, and then Samuel dies. You know, Samuel dies. And so Saul doesn't have Samuel anymore. And Saul is getting more and more desperate, because as David's on the run, but his followers are growing. You know, he's like building his own, you know, people start following David and where he is, and picking him as the king, really, because they're following him in the wilderness, and they're protecting him and his army. So his army is growing. So Samuel dies. So now Saul doesn't have anybody to go to. So he had gotten rid of all the mediums and like the seers and the in Israel. So then, but he goes and he seeks out a medium and asks her to bring Samuel mm-hmm. back, you know, because he wants to talk to him. This is how desperate Saul has become. And so, he asked her to bring Samuel back, because the Lord would not answer him. Like God, he was praying, but God had already separated himself from Saul. You know, the spirit had left him, and God had separated himself from him. So Saul was getting desperate. So, the medium is able to bring Samuel, and Saul sees him, and Samuel tells them again, the Lord will tear away your kingdom, you and your tomorrow. So, you know, it's, he didn't get any good news there. You know, he's like, that's it. I told you.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, this is what God said, and this is what it is. And so, you see the way Saul is going, you know, still. And then, and then even David, while he's in the wilderness and on the run, if you read scripture, you're going to see where he seeks the Lord about everything. Seeks mm-hmm. the Lord about everything. Do I do this? Do I go here? You know, will I have this victory? And not only that, he has a huge influence on his followers, you know, and they're all seeing how David is. They know that God is with him, and that's why they start following David. So, and there's even an instance where they kidnap while David's on the run, they kidnap his wives and his soldiers' wives while they're getting ready. They leave for battle, and while they're gone, they kidnap their wives. And David seeks the Lord, and he's able to recover his wives and all the kids, and for him and his soldiers, because at that time David already had two wives. So then they go into battle, and Saul dies. Saul and his sons die. And David mourns him. David mourns him because David loved Saul. You know, right. He loved Saul and he respected Saul. But David, you know.
And it shows what kind of a heart he did have after all, because this man was trying to kill him and chase him and hurt him. Kind of like how we are, you know, and so it kind of shows you where that forgiveness can be, because I think he did.
Right. Where, because that could have easily turned into hate, you know, or, you know, here you bitterness. Have two bitterness. Here you have two kings, you know, fighting for a throne. But David goes above and beyond to prove that he would not gain the throne by evil means. You know, he did not want to be disobedient to God, and over and over he's telling them, that's not God's way. That's not God's way. So then David finally becomes king over Israel. You know, God is with him and establishes him as king over Israel. David had trusted the Lord and waited for the right timing, you know, for God's timing. Opposite of Saul, where Saul didn't want to wait for anything, and he would just go on and do whatever he mm-hmm. wanted. So David has victory after victory after victory. And then before one battle, he stays behind for whatever reason, we don't know. And he ends up committing adultery.
And that's in the second Samuel.
That's in, yeah, right. That's in the second Samuel. So we've left for Samuel. Mm-hmm. He's on the roof. You know, he sees a beautiful woman showering on the roof, on her roof. And then he calls for her. You know, he sees that she's beautiful. He can't help himself. He calls for her.
Yeah.
And he commits adultery. And then he ends up committing murder to hide the adultery.
And it only because she becomes pregnant.
Right. I always forget that part too.
Yeah.
She comes back. Because then I wonder
if he thought he would be able to get away with it, you know?
Well, yeah. And if she never got pregnant, then it wouldn't have gone the way it did.
He would have just kept going.
Yeah. Yeah. But she did get pregnant. So he tried to cover that up and try to get the husband drunk and send him home to lay with his wife so he can, you know, say the baby was the husband's. But when the husband said, no, I don't want to leave your side. And then that's when he sent him, I think, back into the war.
Yeah, he sends him back into battle because Uriah was one of his commanders, a close friend. He knew Uriah. He knew Uriah's father and grandfather. The grandfather was on his one of his advisors. And then he ends up to hide it. He puts an order to kill Uriah to make it look like if he died at war.
Yeah.
So, and then God sends Nathan to call out David, right? He sends the prophet Nathan to call out David on the sin.
Mm-hmm.
So David's response when Nathan comes to David.
A parable. Yeah.
Do you have that parable?
It's on chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12. I think in the beginning, the parable about
Here it goes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he arrived, he said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very large flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one small ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised her and she grew up with him and with his children from his meager food. She would eat from his cup and she would drink in his arms. She would sleep. She was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man could not bring himself to take one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for his guests. David was infuriated with the man and said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die because he has done this thing and showed no pity. He must pay four lambs for that lamb." Nathan replied to David, "You are this man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that was not enough, I would have given you even more. Why then have you despised the Lord's command by doing what I considered evil?" And that right there, it's like, wow. You know, I always remember, "I would have given you even more," you know?
Yeah.
Because, and that, you know, and we see that all the time, you know, people have everything that they need, you know, they have, especially with families, you know, you have your family, you have your children and you have a home, you have good jobs. And then here we go, we fall away and, you know, and especially with adultery and stuff and God's like, "I would have given you even more, you know, had you just been obedient, I would have given you even more." So, and then this is where we're going to see the difference between David and Saul, because when David realizes what he'd done and that, you know, Nathan is here telling him what the Lord said. And David's response is, "I have sinned. opposite of what Saul had did. You know, Saul mm-hmm. was like, well, I sinned, but I did it because you know, mm-hmm. like he had justification for that sin. And so how David responds here humbly, I have sinned. That is what we call godly repentance.
Yeah.
So, and then there's consequences there.
Right.
You know, there's consequences there. And God tells them, you will not die. You will not die, but you know, your family, he's gonna bring the sword. The sword won't leave his family. So, well, the son, he tells them, you will not die, but you're gonna lose the baby that Bathsheba's pregnant with. And the sword will not leave your house.
Right.
And then, and that just starts like a whole bunch of, it doesn't, you know, David's house is in, he starts seeing all those consequences.
And I think when you said, you know, that David said, I have sinned, but when he responded to Nathan, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And I think that's so powerful because that's where it shows you too. He knows that he hurt the God, you know, the one who has paved the way for him above and beyond. And he sinned against him when Saul, I don't think he said, oh, okay, I sinned. Let me do some burnt offerings. But he didn't even put God in that.
At all.
Nothing.
And David's, you know, grief was that he had not only sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba, he was more
worried,
grieved by what he mm-hmm. had done to God.
Grieved. Yes, grieved. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that, looking at these two, Saul and David, does it say, or Saul? Does it say before he became king, was he walking with God or no? Was he a good man? I can't remember.
I don't think it says.
It doesn't say. He was just.
He just showed up and he became king.
I think the Lord just chose him.
He came from a good family. Oh, because
they were looking for a king. And so they said, you're it.
It only says that he came from like a good family, but that's really about it. That he came from a good family. So
he wasn't walking. He wasn't walking with the Lord like they say David was, because he would spend time as a shepherd out there and then
by himself.
Yeah. She said that Saul was an impressive man and that he was like taller than everybody else, good looking. Yeah. But
so he just had like the qualities of a good king or what, you know, what a good king should be, right?
Exactly.
On the outside, not on the inside.
Exactly.
But what I was looking at, and this is the first time I noticed, okay, so God has an agenda, right? So he's on a mission, and he, you know, and because he's going to be sending his son down. So he's on a mission, and he's going to use you as long as you're obedient. And the minute you become disobedient, and that's really your choice because you mess up, he's going to keep going because he is on a mission. He'll use somebody else, right? So he started off with Saul, right? Mm-hmm. And gave him everything, but he failed. And what's neat is that he gave Saul
Samuel.
Let's call him Sammy. He gave him Sammy, right? And then he gave David prophet, Nathan, right?
Was he a prophet or a priest, Samuel?
Yeah, what was he?
I think he was a priest,
he might have been a priest.
Yeah.
And what was Nathan?
Nathan was a prophet.
Okay.
Okay. So he gave these two men a godly advisor, right?
Right. Okay.
And with Saul, when he messed up, his advisor said, this is what God is saying. And his mm-hmm. response is, but wait, you know, come see it my way, whatever. You know, right. I did all these excuses, right? But when Nathan confronted, you know, David and said, this mm-hmm. is what God said, he realized that he saw it and
right away,
right? And that he couldn't hide it from, that he couldn't hide it from.
Yeah. Like God, he, right away, he felt it, right. He felt conviction, right. Right away.
Right away. Yes.
But what's interesting is that with these two men, they were kind of given the both situations, kind of like God testing them with impatient situations, that are you going to be patient or are you going to be impatient? Are you going to be, you know, make good decisions or are you going to make bad decisions? You know,
well, and remember, it started with the people rejecting God and then them wanting a man as a king.
They so, need that visual that.
Yeah, they need it. So the people, it all started back then because they rejected God.
They wanted somebody here that was a choice of rejecting God
because I think we do that too. You know, like we want somebody in a lot here. Of ways. Yeah, yeah, we do that a lot. We reject God
and we choose
something worldly instead of when all we need is God, you know?
And so
first
happened,
there was there.
Because first they had Moses and he followed the path. It went to Joshua, but after Joshua, there was nobody. So that's kind of where chaos happened.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's when, yes, they were demanding that leader and God's like, okay, they really do need somebody, you know, because they weren't, like I said, after Joshua, when he passed, there was nobody.
Well, and with the judge, even with the judges, things just got worse. Yeah. Things just got worse.
Then that's when they started with the kings. Yeah.
Well, if you send us a king, we'll behave.
Yeah. And they didn't.
No, they both, because David also became impatient when he counted the men, right?
And he also made some bad decisions, and
he had pride and he disobeyed God. But difference is David. Mm-hmm. Well, he disobeyed because he got with Bathsheba, you know?
Well, and I think, that might be a little different from Saul, only because I think with David, it was more, I think the woman was the main downfall, right?
But he counted his men too. And that was a big thing. I think that was bigger than Bathsheba.
That's right. He did count his
men. He does count his men. And then he, again, Saul, after that happened with Saul, he's like, oh, come on, Samuel, I'm going to go make a sacrifice to him, you know. And then not only does he do that, he goes and he builds a monument of himself, you know. So he's like that, like, he's like, oh, come on, you know, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And Samuel's like, dude, God has rejected you. Okay, you're about to lose. You're going to lose everything.
The difference is that David kept... apologize. David kept, you know, I screwed up. And that goes to show you how many that God's a forgiving God, you know, no matter how many times he kept messing up. But the counting
of the men was after the murder, right?
Yes. That was way after, because he messed
and
up.
And that God allowed up. The enemy to put those thoughts in his head. And so,
because he's human and we do that, because we could be talking, you know, all these great things about God, and then something happens tomorrow and we fall
and you quit,
right? You know,
Saul,
another thing that Saul did too, he admitted to Samuel that, well, you know, he was more afraid of the people than he was of God. And that's why he didn't wait for him. He's like, well, he was losing all his soldiers. He was losing all his men because they were afraid. So he was more afraid of losing the people and not delivering to them than he was of God. So he didn't wait. And he took control and he did, you know,
Then he got so jealous of David where he let that kind of blind him in a way, because then what was his agenda? I got to kill David. Where is he?
So he probably thought if I could kill David, then I'll stay king, you know, and the people the people won't follow.
But you see how that's so funny, because that David, that's the first thing that he put in his mind. I got to kill Uriah. Isn't it Uriah? I got to kill Uriah.
To hide it. Yeah.
You know,
but his was a different agenda. He wanted to stop.
He didn't want to get caught, you know, and he didn't want to. And with
it's that panic, right? That panic fear, that, that panic chaos where you're thinking the worst. Right. If I just do this, and not turning, instead of turning to God.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, it's like Adam said, well, she ate the apple, you know, like right away, instead of taking, you know, ownership or whatever. He's like, nope, she ate it. Like, you probably would have killed Eve there too. It's like,
And so I think like when you redid the title to worldly remorse, to godly remorse, I think these two, we can see Saul. I'm sorry, I sinned. Let me do this. Let me do this. So he figured if he do the burnt offering, it'll make himself feel better. For David, he sinned. And when Nathan came to him and he saw, his first thought was, I sinned against the Lord. Like godly remorse. He didn't want to lose God. He didn't care
about everything else, right?
In scripture, it doesn't say like, are you going to take away my kingdom, my wives? No, he says, he was worried about losing God. And those are the big differences, I think.
But look how long it took him. I mean, he had already gotten somebody pregnant, right? He already killed somebody.
Yeah.
And it took Nathan to say that to finally see, you know, oh.
Right.
And I wonder, because he got caught. Look, we know what you did. Nathan basically said, God knows what you did. I think he thought that he God couldn't see him. He was in hiding.
But he allowed David to live.
Yeah.
But on the bad side, I mean, well, the consequences that Lorena said was he lost his baby.
Right, because he doesn't remove the consequences, but he walks with you through them, you know? So, and there's a huge difference there, because it's like you're going into a dark place. Do you want to do it alone or do you want to do it with God?
Right.
See, and David was willing to go through the consequences. There's a lot with of people God, that, are
That are not willing, right? That are not.
It's too much.
That's huge. Yeah.
And without walking with God, that's where you said like that evil spirit was able to come upon him with the anxiety, with the, you know, just all that bad vibes that he was getting, and you know.
And then Psalm 51, because, you know, David wrote, I think it was 73 of the 100 and something Psalms. And Psalm 51, which is one that we talked about before, you know, David really expresses the grieving that he was feeling inside. And, you know, we didn't talk about, we've talked about Psalm 51 before, but I was reading how Psalm 32 is also tied to Psalm 51, because Psalm 32, and I'll read a little bit of that one. It's called Blessed is the Forgiven Person. And here David writes, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. So he, you know, he expresses how he felt knowing that he has sinned, you know, and how it hurt him, like to his bones. You know, he was feeling this pain, and how he could feel God's hand heavy upon him.
Yeah. And then which song was that?
That's Psalm 32.
32. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the freedom of confession, he goes on, then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So by those words, you know, he's using, I acknowledge my sin to you. So he's acknowledging, he's not trying to hide it. Like, he's acknowledging his sin to him. And I did not cover it up. Like, I didn't try to hide it. And I will confess. He confesses, you know. And therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you. Well, and this is, then David goes on. He doesn't say the Lord says, but I think David, what the commentary said is that God speaks through David with the promise and admonition. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. So here he's, you know, he's trying to teach, because he tells in Psalm 51, he tells, I think it's in Psalm 51, he says, I will teach transgressors your ways. So not only does David confess his sins and acknowledges them, he tells God, I'll teach others your ways, you know, so that they, because he knew the influence he had over the people. And he knew, right. You know, remember when he danced, you know, when they moved the ark and all of that, because he loved God, you know, and he wanted other people to feel what he felt with God, you know, when he felt that peace and that joy, and he knew he messed up and he wanted that back. He knew what it was like to have that peace and joy, and he wanted that back. And he knew that without God, he couldn't. So, and Psalm 51 is it's the one of God's mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, which we did in the other podcast. Mm-hmm. They give me a new heart, you know, make me as white as snow. So those two, Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, are, you know, is where we should go. How we should, if you want to know if you're fully repenting or not, then I would meditate on those two psalms. To see where your heart is, you know. So let's move on. I don't know how much time we have, so we can talk about Peter and Judas, because we kind of see the same thing with them. So maybe Five we minutes. Make that another
we might have to do our, that yeah
do that our next podcast on another one. Because that's yeah. There's a lot to cover there.
These are big yeah. deals, yes, these you are, know? Yeah. yeah. And you have to know the whole story to kind of see, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been a quick
how they align, because there's so much there. And, you know, and I want to point out too that David had faith, you know, David had a lot of faith, you know, and David had a lot of trust in God and love. We saw, you know, the love that David had and how he loved Saul, and he mourned Saul's son, Jonathan, because that was like his best friend, like a brother to him.
Yeah.
And David's humility, you know, even after all his victories and all of those things, he remained humble and his integrity. He admitted when he was wrong, and he took responsibility for his mistakes.
Yep. And that's what we should all do, I think. Take responsibility for our mistakes, and we turn to him and, you know, come to him with all our heart, because he can see our heart. So he'll know what's sincere and what's not sincere.
And he's a forgiving God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And then, like I said, we'll see different betrayals that happen with mm-hmm. Judas and Luke. So I think that's going to be a good one too. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a closing prayer?
Yes. Oh, go ahead. Well, I'll say real quick, like, I think these two betrayals, they're different from where we see Judas and Peter, because their betrayal was to Jesus. And these, I think are they against God too, in a way? I guess
they are, but it's before Jesus. So
yeah,
this is they're talking to God directly through the prophets and the priests. So
yeah.
And then with Judas and Peter, well, they're actually walking with Jesus. Jesus is there with them. So and still they betray him. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I have a scripture to end. Are we ready for the scripture?
Okay. Yes.
It's Psalm 66, and I'll be reading verses 16 through 20. Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth, and praise was on my tongue. If I had been aware of malice in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. However, God has listened. He has paid attention to the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God. He has not turned away my prayer or turned his faithful love from me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining our podcast, and we'll see you next week.